Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
So I always look forward to a time in which Eliza shares, because some of you might not know this, but, you know, she doesn't just like roll in on the day that she's going to share and think of something to say to y'all. She spent time all week long with the Lord and hoping to hear from him, glean from him, and express him here today. So would you all warmly welcome Eliza as she comes up to share.
Good morning, everybody. Happy to see you. I'd like you to stand up. I'm going to just read a few scriptures. There's been some themes. I love the Holy Spirit, how he's been weaving a theme, for quite a bit from the beginning of time, but today specifically for this morning. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:1-7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan and the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff off his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This was 734 years prophesied. And then Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us right now. We acknowledge the presence and the personhood of you and the Holy Spirit. And we pray today that the revelation of Emmanuel, God with us, would not just be something that registers over the holidays of Christmas, but that it would be a reality in our lives in every moment of our day, that you are with us. We thank you that that has been your plan and desire from the beginning. And we thank you that you were, you are, and you are coming again. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just cause our spirit to be attentive to your word. We're asking today your kingdom come and your will would be done. And Lord, I'm asking for fire. That anything that is in me would be just burned away, but that your fire, the Holy Spirit, would burn in our hearts that which you want released today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'd like for you to open your Bible, and I want you, you need, like, hold a couple fingers. We're going to, you're going to be, you know me, I love the Word of God. go to John, the Gospel of John. And then also we're going to go to Genesis, and then we're going to go to 1 John. So we'll be there. Just I wanted to let you know that's coming. Last time I spoke was early September. A lot of life has happened. And I'm not going to apologize, but I will tell you my heart is tender. But I believe it's him. That message, the Lord, I talked about grit. Remember that? And for those that weren't here and don't know, I'm a runner, and I had been finding myself running a lot in the rain. And this was all before Helene. And I can't tell you in the summer how many times I got caught in the rain. And one day, and I'm just not a real athletic person, and I'm really not known for what the world would say is grit. I mean, what do you think of as grit? Right? Dig deep. Press through. And I got caught in the rain, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, Eliza, you've got grit. And I just thought, that's crazy. I mean, he's not crazy, but then he said, grit. And immediately he dropped into my heart, this is what we need, grit. Grace, relationship, integrity, and transformation. And, you know, grace is unmerited favor. It's available, and we looked at that. It's available not only for the sinner that needs forgiveness, but also we need grace. Everything we do is by the grace of God. And then this, and I spent a lot of time kind of developing grace, and I did this little object lesson. We had salt, a cup of water, an egg, and how you put an egg in water and it sinks, and we added grace with the salt. Stirred up, and it causes the egg to rise. Grace is what we have and receive from Jesus to rise above it all. The second thing, this thing of a relationship, we are children of God. We've heard that in the word today already. Behold what manner of love that we would call children of God. God is love. And there's this thing about our relationship with Jesus, and then also this place of relationship with ourself, and then relationship with one another. The thing about integrity is being honest. The key to transformation in Christ is when we can be honest with him about what's going on with us. And sometimes we need to not only be honest with him or honest with ourselves, but open that door up to others. and then transformation. The change of heart. And I was thinking about how, I was just reflecting how, I had this whole message, and then 3 weeks later, we were thrown into who has needed some grit the past little bit. Not just digging in. In fact, I don't know, for the longest time, all I could say was, it is so much. It is so much. And I also found myself saying, but Jesus is so much more. And I promise you, this will tie in to Emmanuel. We sang a song this morning called The Steadfast Love. And early into October, that song, I was worshiping, and I thought, this is an anthem we need in this region. This is the anthem. And I sent the song to Daniel, and I said, Advent's focus is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us. See, a lot of times we want to be rescued out. Who would have not liked to walk through this path? Like, that's the honest part. That's integrity. And you know what? It is okay to say that. And yet, God wants to encounter within. Who has encountered God in ways that you couldn't even imagine? And for that, I would never change it. Though I'd never want to volunteer to go through it again. I'm just going to read a few of the lines in this, just because, see, the thing is, the Holy Spirit has been preparing us. In fact, last year at Advent, I did a message on prepare. He prepares. We had a table last year during Christmas, and there was a menorah on it, a candlestick, and a place setting, and it was to remind us that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. And we've been looking and walking in push and prayer. We've been going through the book of Revelation probably 3 years, and I think we're still in the second chapter. But one of the things is in that passage, it talks about, John seeing the one, who's walking amongst the candlestick. That's the Lord. That's a picture of Emmanuel. He's with us. So in the song, we give thanks to the God who will deliver, to the God who always saves. You are good. You are good forever. And let me tell you something. I'm talking about this place of relationship and integrity and transformation. Sometimes it's quick and sometimes it takes decades. One of the things I opened that sermon on was a story about Alora, who I was talking to her, and she was heading for the toilet, and I said, no, baby, come here. And then Abel had made a comment about she's still got some learning to do. And I said to him, Abel, I bet you have some learning. In fact, I still have some learning to do. Who can say I still have some learning to do? It's a lifetime of learning. But this, you are good forever. My heart, let's see, I'm 57, so I'd have been 30-ish, maybe not even 30. I was singing that song on Sunday morning, you are good, and your love endures. There were parts of my heart that didn't really believe he was good, because the moment something bad happened, I found myself questioning. And then I get beat up by the enemy, you're such a hypocrite. And I was like, Lord, I want, no matter what is going on in my life, that the testimony of my heart can be, he is good. And there's places in my heart that don't know it, but I'm asking that you would fix it. And you know what? he has. But it took me being honest to go, wow, there's places in my heart that don't think he's good, that he is good. We give thanks for your ever-loving kindness. We give thanks for the table set before us. There's an invitation any moment to come and sit with him in relationship at a table he's made in the presence of our enemy. In the middle of the chaos, he's there, that intimacy, that place. You're good forever. We give thanks to the God who watches over. We give thanks to the God who hears. You're good. You never leave me. You're always with me. Emmanuel, God with us, you're good. And then there's a tagline. It says, here I will worship, right in the mystery. My soul will say, you're good. Have you found yourself in the mystery? I have. All right, let's look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And get down to verse 16. And of his fullness we have received grace for grace. That's something. We've received grace for grace. Flip the page to John 3:16. I think you're very familiar with this verse. I'm going to read a little bit further. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men, loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth to the light, that his deeds may be seen clearly, that they have been done in God. You know, in 1 John 4, it says, perfect love drives out fear. We have a God, let me tell you something, he thinks so much of you. He loves you. He knows the end from the beginning and everything along the way. And what happens is we find ourselves, when we struggle, our human tendency is not to run to him, but hide and run from him. But he wants us to understand he's with you. He knows you. He loves you. He's for you. He's for you. There's nothing you can do to stop his love. He gave his son so that we could be in fellowship. It could be restored. His design from the beginning was always to be in fellowship with humanity, with us. Let's look in Genesis. I'm hearing, let's start in the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Yeah, but we just read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was who? And everything was created. He was there. So, you know, we sang a beautiful song of this beautiful Trinity, one God, three parts anyway. Let's start right there at chapter 1, verse 26. God is in this beautiful, I don't know what you call it, like it's amazing. He's creating. He's in the midst of it. Every day he does, and he says, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's an entire creation. We're not going to read it all. Verse 26, then God says, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds to be food. And also every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food. And it was. And then God saw that he had made everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Everything else he created, he says, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Mankind, very good. He made us in his image. I love this, going on to chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he has done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Could you imagine? God's seventh day is Adam's first. Wakes up, what are we going to do? God says, I've taken the whole day off just to be with you. He loves us. He wants relationship with us. He, from the beginning, that's what he's desired. Let's keep reading. So, you know, then there's this whole chapter 2 speaking of naming the animals and then God creates female Eve. I think this is important. God put man in the Garden of Eden, verse 15. And God said and commanded to the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you should not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I'm looking forward to one day seeing the video of all that. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds and the beasts of the field, but Adam, for him, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in his place, and then the rib which the Lord had taken from man and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And then Adam said, wow, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Such a beautiful thing. And then there's this crafty serpent. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we can eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Okay, just pause. How was man, whose image was man and woman made in? So Satan's there and he's twisting truth from the beginning. So he takes and say, he's saying, oh, if you eat this, then you'll be like God. They're already like God because they were made in his image. So you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, so the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And then they sewed fig trees together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. All of a sudden, their eyes are opened and they're seeing, and then they're trying to cover themselves and hide. Here's God. He's just walking in the cool of the garden. He's looking for that place of relationship and command and companionship, that God with us. And God called out to Adam and he said, where are you? Pretty sure God knew. I think it was an invitation for Adam to come forward. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. And then he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded? And then the man said, well, the woman you gave me, she ate it, and I did. And there's just a spiral of covering up and blaming and hiding and running. And that's humanity, apart from Jesus. And so he says to the serpent, because you've done this, you're accursed. And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now, in the New King James Version, that seed is capitalized. Is it capitalized in yours? Yeah? It's speaking prophetically of Jesus. And you'll bruise. He'll bruise your head, and you'll bruise his heel. All right. Go to John, 1 John 1. That piece of integrity. First John 1, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. So John, the apostle, the gospel of John is talking about the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word. And we just read that, and now he's talking later of Jesus. He's going, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, manifested to us, that we have seen and heard and declare to you, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And we write these things that your joy could be full. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then go to verse 15. It says, do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I find it interesting in Genesis verse 6, it says, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable to make one wise. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, if we could all just say, Lord, would you, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the places that I struggle? Because I don't want to, because once again, it's like he loves us. He's already paid for it, but that's where the transformation becomes in our life, when we can be honest with him and say, okay, like, for example, I have not liked this season. I haven't. I've wanted to run. I've wanted to leave. And I'm like, Lord, I'm confessing this to you. This is hard, but I'm asking you to meet me because you have called me here. I need your heart for this place. For 20 years I've been contending for this land, and I don't want a storm to push me out of position. In fact, he began to speak to me. He said, Eliza, I am answering your prayers. This storm did not come from his hand, but it is being a catalyst for him to bring healing and help and wholeness and revival into this region. You know, I've been hearing this phrase, holy disruption. Whose life has been a little disrupted? Can you imagine Mary's life was a little disrupted? Joseph, was his life a little disrupted? You know, we know and we read his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, but man, when he does it so different than we would ever think or imagine, there's a holy disruption. And I don't want to miss where he is because he's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. You can read this on your own time. Jesus, and I'll say this. I feel like I've missed a lot of Sundays since Helene. And one of the first Sundays when I came back, I kept hearing that phrase, who is this coming up out of the wilderness leaning on her lover, her beloved? And I felt impressed. We're in a wilderness. We're going to come out. We haven't yet, but we're learning how to lean. The wilderness, once again, there's a scripture that says there's actually grace in the wilderness. I think our flesh wants to avoid the wilderness, if we're honest, right? Who says, I think I'd love to go to the wilderness. Take me. Our flesh, but see, the thing is, your spirit says, Jesus, I want you no matter what. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God uses the wildernesses in our lives. Biblically, historically, Moses was in a wilderness. The whole nation of Israel went into a wilderness. Elijah, David, Jesus. Jesus was baptized. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Audible voice. The Trinity was right there. And then the Spirit says he led him into the wilderness. The Spirit came down like on a dove. And guess who was in the wilderness? Temptation. How did Jesus overcome? It was the same three things. I mean, the enemy's not creative. He's going to go through the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Jesus was hungry. So Satan's like, well, here's the stones. Make these in bread. The temptation was for Jesus to step out of the abiding in the Father and doing what the Father is doing and stepping into, I know better than God. See, that's really basically the two trees. And then he takes them up and he goes, all of this I'll give you if you just bow down and worship. Sometimes the enemy tries to trip you up by making you create an Ishmael, circumvent the process. Over what he said over your life. How many are waiting for something God has said over your life and you haven't seen it yet? It's real easy to get impatient. That's the way that the enemy tempts us. Or just go ahead and jump off. God won't let any harm come to you. You won't surely die. Does that sound familiar? You know, but the thing is that Emmanuel, God with us, he already knows that. He wants us to run to him, not from him. And then the other thing that I think is, you know, like I said, I've been very sad. And I asked the Lord, am I okay? I'm very sad. And he said, Eliza, I weep. You know, Jesus knew he was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he sees Martha and Mary, and he weeps. See, that's the beauty of this Emmanuel, God with us. He comes into the middle of our pain, and he meets us there. You might be struggling because you haven't been healed yet. And see, like, we want the quick miracle, and yet there's a miracle that he's there right now. And there's things you can learn and know of him that will not come any other way. And the thing about wilderness is when you come up out leaning on him, then all of a sudden his power, his spirit's going through you. And then, I mean, you see, Jesus comes up out of that wilderness and says the Spirit of God is upon him, and he begins his ministry. Wildernesses are necessary in our life. Not necessarily comfortable, but necessary. You guys okay? You gonna take a big breath? Come on, breathe. Yeah, I kept saying, this is so much, it's so much, it's so much. Jesus, I know you're so much more. I know you're so much more. And I was weepy, but I was weeping because of two things, the destruction all around. But then when I see God move in unimaginable, miraculous ways over and over and over, he's still doing it every day all around us, miracles all around. And I kept saying to people, I remember, you know, we had those dark days where, like, it was really dark and the phones weren't working, nothing was working. And we had heard that if you go to Verizon on Tunnel Road, like, there's this little, and maybe you can get some connection there. So we finally worked their way there. I turned my phone on, and it was like, I was like, oh, my gosh. All these texts, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? We're praying for you. Are you guys okay? And where it felt dark and alone, there were people all around praying for us, for you. And I kept saying, you know, it's so much, but what a beautiful opportunity to be the heart and the hands and the feet of Jesus. Because Emmanuel comes in. I had the moment I begin to be undone came on a Sunday. Sam and Jim Caro and Matthew came to the church the Sunday after Helene just to make sure that nobody was here, and they were gone, and that was before phone service, and they were gone a long time, right, Marilyn? They were gone a long time. Marilyn and Jim were at our house, and they were gone, and we get a knock on the door, and Marilyn opens it, and I'm kind of in our living room. And I see at a distance, like, I'm getting older, my eyes aren't working like they used to. I see at a distance two guys, and they're dressed like camo kind of stuff. And my heart just stopped a little bit. And then I hear all these go, Mom, it's Spencer. I thought, oh, it's Spencer. So I go in with Spencer, like, we have a daughter, Amy, who's now 31. She's happily married to Mitch. But in high school, she dated Spencer, and they were 15. And Spencer and Ben had been part of our house all the time. And they were there, and they just said, we were driving by, and we just want to stop in and see, are you okay? And I was thinking about, you know, Emmanuel, and not Spencer's not Emmanuel, he's just Spencer. But the reality is Jesus is knocking on your door. I'm here. How are you? Because see, the thing is, do you know that in your heart, like I'm learning this. Remember, I still got some learning to do. Your heart can hold great grief and complete surrender and trust in the Lord at the same time. I used to think, well, if I trust God, can't be sad because I'm trusting God. So I just completely shut all that off. That's not a good plan. But we somehow, nobody told me that, but that's what my brain came to a conclusion. I'm trusting God. So I just completely disconnected. But the Lord wants us to be able to bring him. In just a minute, Rebecca's getting ready to sing a song. And we're going to have communion. And I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit is talking to each of you, whatever you're supposed to hear, and anything you're not supposed to, it's just going to be okay. But I was on a run, and I heard this song, Emmanuel. I'm going to read, there was a line in it. Oh, what an invitation. Oh, his only expectation is for us to come and offer him our all. As long as I can remember, I've loved Jesus. And for a long time, the one cry in my heart was, Jesus, I have one life to live. I want to live it for you. And that's true. And then I begin to realize, decades later, maybe 10 years ago, I can't really live for him apart from him. And so I begin to recognize that, like, you know, giving my all, my time, my everything, God, here it is. I want you to have it all. But the thing is, God doesn't want you to live for him only or from him only. He wants you to live with him. If we live with him, we'll live from him, and guess what? For him. Oh, what an invitation. His only expectation is for us to come and offer him our all. For me, all has been, here's my time, my resources, I'm going to live for you. I didn't understand all was my broken heart. Here's the confusion I don't understand. He wants that. That's part of the all he wants. He wants us to come to him. That's an invitation because from the beginning, it's all a relational thing. I think it's a good time for communion. You guys, come on up.
Well, I was supposed to line some people up to hand out communion, so if you don't mind, Jim and Marilyn, would you mind coming up here and helping me? And Rick and Elise, could you guys please come? We're going to go ahead and pass it out to you because we're going to want you to stay in your chair as we begin to worship the Lord. I'm so grateful for a team of elders that are already in and out of season here. So if we can go ahead and when you receive your elements, if you could hold them, let's just hold them and wait and partake of them at the end together.
So this is the table that he's prepared for you. In the presence of your enemies or your heartache or the pain, this is an awesome time. Communion is a time to come before him and just be with him and be honest with him about where you are. And you know what? You can be at a place of, Jesus, I'm just so blown away with all the good things you're doing and giving thanks. Or maybe it's like, Jesus, my body's really hurting and I need a miracle. You know, even Jesus, he said, Father, take this cup from me. He was really honest. But then, not my will, but your will be done. So we're just going to have this time of worship, and then you will lead everybody.
On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. Same manner he took the cup of the new covenant, which was his blood, which he shed for the remission of our sin. And let's drink this in remembrance of him. Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord Jesus, we give you now our all. We give you our everything. You gave us everything, we give you everything. And we surrender all to you. And we thank you that as we go low, you fill every place in our hearts that need a touch from you. As we bring it all before you, Lord, we thank you that you meet us. You heal us. You restore us. You forgive us. You love us. Just the way we are. So we worship you, Lord Jesus, in this season and time where we celebrate the greatest gift of all, Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord Jesus, it's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen.
Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. You are precious in my sight. You've been honored, and I love you. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. And streams in the desert. I just want to encourage you. We're in a season of preparation that continues on. And there's some things, I know we're doing this ourselves, there's things we're needing to let go and surrender to make room for him and what he wants to do in this season. So.
Amen. Let's all stand together. Father, I pray you bless and keep each and every one. Lord, I pray today that you would make your face shine upon each and every one because you delight in us. And I ask, Father, that your grace would abound, grace upon grace. And you lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace. And we thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful peace in this season. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.